Yes, sir. Our first reading tonight is from the book of Job, chapter 38, verses 1 to 15. Sorted. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness? When I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place? When I said, 'This far you may come and no farther. Here is where your proud ways halt.' Have you ever given orders to the morning or shown the dawn its place, that it might take the earth by the edges and shake the wicked out of it? The earth takes shape like clay under a seal. Its features stand out like those of a garment. The wicked are denied their light, and their upraised arm is broken."
And our second reading is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through to 25. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen.
Thanks, Jocelyn and Steve, for reading for us. We've got a great tough question before us tonight. Has Christianity... It's too hard to prompt you, isn't it, like that? We're looking at the question, has Christianity disproved science, or rather science? Has science disproved Christianity? And do you know, this is the question, as Dan said at the beginning, this is the question that I find just comes up in conversations as an assumed truth. So you'd be chatting away about life, and then suddenly in the conversation, this is just dropped in. Now that science has undermined the credibility of the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And that actually makes it quite challenging to respond to when it's just that passing comment. How many of you have found yourselves in a conversation about science and belief? Just a bit of a survey. Yeah, quite a number of us. I think it's quite common now for people to want to talk about this. They might be religious, they might be disinterested in religion, but it's kind of a topic that people feel kind of conversant with, like they've heard about it and they want to talk about it. So tonight we're going to have a go at answering the question, has science disproved Christianity? And we're going to bounce off those Bible readings that we looked at, but this is the kind of question that really isn't responded to directly in the scriptures. It's not like the Bible was interested in answering this question when it was written. We'll see the Bible assumes that God is the ruler of the world, and that's the worldview that just seeps through in all the scriptures. And so what we're going to be trying to do tonight is ask the philosophical question and provide the philosophical answer. But I hope that's really helpful to you in your conversations with friends. It's a big topic. We're going to try and do it in about 20, 25 minutes. And so there's heaps more to say than we can say tonight. And so just once again, I remind you of that book that we've been recommending by Rebecca McLaughlin, available at Coorong, Confronting Christianity. And she deals with 12 hard questions. So you might want to do a bit of follow-up with that book. But also on this particular topic of science and faith, John Lennox is Professor of Mathematics at Oxford University. He is brilliant on this topic. He's published at least 4 books, which you can get hold of at Coorong. And the titles are Can Science Explain Everything?, God and Stephen Hawking, Gunning for God, and God's Undertaker, Has Science Buried God? So you can see some of those titles are going to be really helpful. And he's fun to read and a really clear thinker and a fun thinker. So here's our topic tonight. There's some further reading and thinking you could do. But also, if this kind of leaves you asking more questions tonight about science and faith, then please feel free to have a chat with me. Drop me an email, give me a ring during the week, and I'd be happy to chat with you more about this question. So let's pray as we come to God's word and this tough question tonight. Our Father, you are our maker, and we are your creatures. And we acknowledge that when we speak about science, we're seeking to describe the workings of things that you designed and only you fully understand. As you said to Job in the reading we had tonight, were you there when I laid the earth's foundation? And there is just so much we don't know or understand about ourselves and your world. So please enable us to come to this tough question tonight with humility and open-mindedness so that we hear clearly the argument for why science and faith are not opposed and why science has not undermined Christianity, and equip us so that we might help our friends to reconsider their assumptions in this question too. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, has science disproved Christianity? Well, there's a really simple answer. You probably got it from my prayer. No. And we can kind of stop right there. It is that simple. It's kind of an easy question to deal with in that way, because science does not disprove Christianity. I think that's the clear answer that I'm going to try and present tonight. But, of course, that's not good enough, is it? By way of an answer, we want to ask, why is it that science doesn't disprove Christianity? And what I'm really hoping to help you see tonight is why science cannot possibly undermine Christianity or anything like Christianity. Christianity and so many other things in life that we hold precious really don't come into the realm of science and sit outside the limits of science. So I hope tonight that we'll be able to understand that and that will be really helpful to us. But even though the answer is a simple no, someone famous has said, perception is reality. Now, this is really key in terms of this question, because like I said before, a lot of our friends perceive that the answer is yes. And they've sort of got such a strong feeling that it is a resounding yes from what they've heard in the media, that for them, this question is already settled in their minds. And so this really does throw us a bit of a challenge at the human level, because as we seek to engage in this conversation with them, we're really asking them to have another look at something that they've already crossed off their list. They're already certain that science has indeed undermined religion and Christianity. Additionally, people have really brought the line that faith and science are two opposing worldviews. So you might have heard of one of the new atheists, Richard Dawkins, also an Oxford professor. He has written a great deal and said a great deal about faith and science, and this quote really picks up his view that the two are opposed. He says, faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Faith is belief in spite of, even perhaps because of, the lack of evidence. So you can kind of see what Richard Dawkins is getting at. You can live a life of rational thinking where there's evidence and you build your life on that, or you can be a person who doesn't care about reality and you can just have blind faith. And he's really polarised faith and rational thinking, or what we might call science. As a result, many people today have therefore placed Christianity in their kind of proverbial waste paper basket. They've just chucked it out, along with every other worldview that doesn't seem to them to be rational, and they presume their worldview operates seamlessly without Christianity and without God in the picture. So that is a human challenge, but of course that's really no challenge to God. As you enter into conversations with friends that have already scratched Christianity, God is the God of hearts and minds, and he can lead them to re-examine the very things that they thought they had already sealed shut in their mind. So never kind of give up on God's ability to bring people back to reconsidering the questions of faith that perhaps they've put aside. Of course, if this describes you tonight, if you're someone who considers themselves scientific and not a person of faith, then a challenge to you. I want you to consciously go to your mental waste paper basket and get out Christianity once again to re-examine it and to listen to this philosophical argument that we're going to have tonight about why science is not able to disprove Christianity. And to the believers in the room, encouragement. We believe in a God who is bigger than our brains and our rationale, and we believe that he can lead people to re-examine their assumptions. Now, as we come to this question tonight, we want to understand the question and we want to understand the Bible. It's really important to notice that this is not just an attack on Christianity. So Christianity is a subcategory of a bigger way of life, bigger worldview, which we call theism, which you might not have heard of before, but theism is simply the worldview in which God exists. So we call theology the study of God. Theism is the worldview that God exists. And sometimes we talk about divinity or the divine. And we'll put this in everyday language by just simply saying, has science disproved the existence of God? And this is a really important thing to identify because it helps us understand clearly why Christianity and all forms of theism lie beyond the limits of science. You will notice tonight, as I said before, that we're not referring to the Bible a great deal in this talk, and that's because the scriptures assume the strength of the position of placing our trust of faith in God. So Dan read from one of the Psalms at the beginning of the service tonight, which is such a great passage, and it simply assumes that the person reading them agrees that the heavens declare that God exists and has made all things. So there's a theistic view of Scripture being presented. And we see this all through the Bible. So Psalm 14, written by King David, begins in this way. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. You can't get more frank than that. There's just this assumption that you're on board, that God exists and is in control. When we read that wonderful response to Job and his friends in Job 38 tonight, you really see that God is approaching Job with this forceful rebuke because Job has questioned God's motives in allowing him to experience suffering. And God is quite sarcastic, isn't he, in his response. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. So it's a call in the scriptures to recognise that from God's point of view and the Bible's point of view, humanity have to come to the question of knowing God with great humility. There is a great deal we don't know. And Romans 1 really drives that home as Paul talks about the fact that creation has made clear God's divine nature. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so much so that people are without excuse. So there's a lot on the line here in the conversation of what Scripture expects of the average human. It assumes that the person is able to understand from nature that there is a creator. They won't know a whole lot about him, but they will understand that there must be a designer to this world. So time and again we see the Bible doesn't engage in this argument, but simply affirms the wisdom of knowing that this world is made by God and ruled over by God, and as a result, that the Bible assumes that we are very limited in our ability to think and know things and work things out on our own. The Bible does affirm science, but it affirms a humility of the scientist as we come to engage with the observations that we make in God's world. The assumption of the Scriptures is this, that if a person engages in scientific observation, then their research will lead them to the compelling conclusion of the existence of a creator. I mean, you don't really hear that being talked about much, but that is the Bible's view. However, in answering the question, has science disproved Christianity, we need to be willing to move beyond the scriptures' affirmation of faith and explore this philosophical thinking that really underpins science as a movement. So let's just ask the question, what is science? If you had to define science, what would you say? Maybe you don't like doing science at school, and you might think, well, if I was defining science, I might say it's boring. But you might be a lover of science. And for you, science is just captivating. How would you define it? Well, science is all about observation. But most people in today's world consider science to be all about proving things about this world and reality. And certainly science can demonstrate to a great extent certain facts about our world. For instance, science can demonstrate that the chemical formula for water is H2O, two hydrogen molecules, one oxygen molecule. It's a basic agreed upon fact. But science is really not about proving, but about observing the natural world and universe and hypothesizing theories which best explain what is observed. So Alistair McGrath puts it in this way, the natural sciences are empirical in their approach. In other words, they rely on the application of observation and experiment in investigating the world. Science observes the observable universe and puts forward the best possible theory to explain why and how those things are happening. Science also holds to laws which provide us with formulas which tell us what things will do on a reliable basis. So, for example, Newton's law of gravitational, of universal gravitation. It's a simple law that helps us to anticipate on every occasion what will happen when someone lets go of a rock at the top of the cliff. It will fall. But that law doesn't explain why the rock falls or how that all works. And that's where a theory comes in. Einstein's theory of general relativity aims to explain why and how the objects appear to fall. I'm not going to go into the details of Einstein's general theory. That would take me all night. And I'm not quite there on understanding, to be perfectly honest. But fascinatingly, Einstein argues that the rock isn't falling. That's pretty cool. So the theories try to explain why and how the laws of science are there to predict what will happen when certain actions occur. But I wonder if you can start to see the limitations of science in what we've just talked about. Science is all about engaging with what can be observed, touched, put under the microscope. But science cannot observe what is outside of this universe. And if you think about it, that's where God is. He's certainly operating within this world, operating within our lives, but he is beyond human observation. As John Lennox said, you cannot put God under the microscope. And this is really where science's limitations are really important to observe. God is, by definition, unobservable and therefore beyond scientific inquiry. McGrath also says religion engages with questions that lie beyond the scope of the scientific method, such as the existence of God, the meaning of life, and the nature of values. These are all open to rational debate. It's very doubtful whether they're open to scientific analysis, in that they're not empirical notions. So I hope that's a kind of lot of vocab, but I hope that's actually helpful to identify the key issue in why science isn't able to prove or disprove the claims of theism, the claims of Christianity, because so much of what we're talking about lays outside the realm of observation. Additionally, scientific theories can never be proven. This was actually something news. This was news to me. Scientific theories cannot ever be proven. As Einstein himself famously said, no amount of experimentation can ever prove me right. A single experiment can prove me wrong. Now that's a staggering thing to say, isn't it, for a scientist? But the reality is you can put up the best theory, and every time you do an experiment that affirms it, there's still the risk that your next experiment's going to knock it out. And it only takes that one experiment to knock it out of contention. So Einstein understood that his best theory remained a working model that would always be being honed and refined as his experiments helped him understand more, but that they would never be proved. A theory may be recognised as settled by the scientific community because it's seen to be so reliable, but even so, it's never actually proven. And this is important when considering the question of whether science has disproven Christianity, because even the scientific community doesn't really ever speak about the outcomes of science in that way. Things are not just so clear-cut as perhaps the new atheists would have us believe. As Christians, we continually affirm the methodology of scientific inquiry into the working of God's universe, but we also want to refute the notion that science is able to conclusively prove its theories, particularly when it comes to the unobservable, like God. As a result, we can affirm in speaking to our friends the goodness of science. How important is that? We want to say God has made a universe that is fully able to be observed, studied, and understood, slowly but surely. That's perfectly good. Science is not opposed to religion. Science is not opposed to a belief in God. In fact, we see it as thoroughly compatible. However, we also want to affirm the limits of science. And this is really where the challenge should be being placed in our conversations with our friends. Science cannot speak beyond the observable universe. It cannot observe God or put him under the microscope. Science is unable to draw conclusions about the existence of God through its scientific method. Science is also unable to prove its theories, much less disprove the Christian worldview. And we might also want to just bring to the debate and the argument the really important answer to that whole science-faith divorce. You might have noticed that as I spoke about Einstein's whole idea of his theories being able to be honed but not proved, really every experiment is an act of faith. He has put up a theory which he then trusts in to the extent that his experiments allow him to. And so a lot of scientists have responded very helpfully to that whole question of how does belief or religion relate to faith. Their answer is we use faith all the time. We employ faith all the time in our scientific inquiry. Faith and science are compatible. They're not enemies. But there is another area in which we need to pick up the answer to this question before we finish, and that is that when it comes to Christianity, we are a group of people who believe in a very observable thing, the Scriptures. You actually can study the Scriptures, you can look at them, you can observe them, and so much of what Christianity claims intersects with science. So just consider the whole realm of archaeology as a scientific endeavour. Biblical data that we read of in the Scriptures is able to be studied more or less in real time as you dig it up and you look at the evidence before us. And so we can read about Jerusalem in the pages of the Old Testament, and when COVID isn't messing things up, you can fly to Jerusalem, you can dig down to, you know, the first millennium BC, and you can actually look at the evidence for what was going on at the time. Now, this has really big implications. For example, how many of you would say that you are confident that King David was a historic person, a real person in history? Okay, so most of us are happy to say that. Why do you believe that? Well, I suspect it's because you've read about him in the Bible and you've been taught that he's a historical person. But until 1993, there was absolutely zero evidence outside of the Bible for the existence of the historical person of David. And so science would say, where is the proof? And I just love this story because archaeologists working in a place called Tel Dan in 1993 dug up a lump of rock and on wiping it down realised it had some scribbles on it, and on closer inspection realised that they were looking at a first millennia BC inscription bearing the name of King David of Judah. And it was the first extra-biblical evidence which really grounded the historical reality of the person of David. I just find that quite mind-blowing. So that is just one little example of where science and Christianity do intersect. But once again, we want to keep saying to our friends, when you actually put Christianity under the microscope, when you put the Bible under the microscope, it can stand up to the scrutiny, and in fact you will find there is great evidence for why you would actually trust the biblical account. Of course, there is a lot in the Bible that simply cannot be put under the microscope, can it? The claim that Jesus rose from death on the third day in the resurrection and ascended into heaven. Impossible to observe. But the scientific argument that when people die, they stay dead, that assumes that it is in every single case. And so we'd be very quick to affirm that observation, but we would also say it does not necessarily hold true, and that we have great reason to believe that the resurrection of Jesus, as seen by so many witnesses, holds great reason to believe it. And there's a whole range of things that we might find coming up in relation to this question. What about evolution? Doesn't it disprove the early accounts of Scripture? What about the early earth theory that appears to be in the book of Genesis? We need to encourage our friends to look carefully at what science actually enables us to know about things like evolution. Remember, Darwin, Einstein, none of those men who put forward their best theories believed them to be provable. They were working towards understanding their world on the basis of the best evidence that they had at hand. And we need to encourage our friends to see that science is about observing and researching, not about coming to some sort of absolute conclusion. The Scriptures never take the debate down to the line of evolution. They simply hold out the great truth that this world is here because a loving God designed it and out of his love for us decided to share it with us. And so as we come to this question in conversation with our friends, let's be courageous in pointing out the fact that God is beyond observation, that science is a great blessing in this world, but that science does not undermine or disprove Christianity. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we do thank you so much for the way your word affirms just how magnificent and great you are. We thank you too, Heavenly Father, for clear thinkers who help us do the thinking of why science is limited to the observable. And we pray, Heavenly Father, this will be great help to us. In our conversations with friends, help us to relax when this topic comes up and simply to explore what we know about science and what we know about you. We pray that you would open the eyes of our friends to see that some of the assumptions that they have about science and about religion may be ill-conceived, and we pray that you would allow them to reconsider what you have to say to them in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.